call the meeting to order. This is our monthly committee of the whole meeting. We have joining us from sunny California, Mr. Rodney Jones. And we have remember to speak into our microphones also for recording and more importantly so that Rodney can hear us in order to speak into our microphones. So at this time, we're going to have a stand for a moment of silence and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this time we have time set aside for citizens' comments for any resident of the school district that wishes to address the board regarding the agenda or anything under our control. Was there anyone who wanted to address the board this evening? Excuse me. Okay, were there, just before you get up, were there any others? Okay, if you could just come up to the microphone, state your name and where you reside.
Sure.
Be great.
William Newman, N-E-U-M-A-N-N. I reside at 101 Geranium, New Holland, Pennsylvania. And I would just like to commend this board for the excellent job that you're doing. It's my new home of 5 years only, but from what I observed, I just wanted to thank you. And if I might take this time to pray for you. Father God, we come before you praising you and thanking you for the freedom we have in this country. But also, Lord, for the men and women on this board that seek to serve our community and to help the children secure an education. I praise you and thank you also for the staff and faculty. As a child that was raised in an institution and also dismissed from school on occasion, I'm appreciative and thankful for the faculty and the staff here at this school system that look after the children and intervene in their life. And then finally, Lord, we pray for the young people themselves and their parents as they strive to keep a roof over their head and to feed them and all the other things that comes with raising children. We just ask for wisdom for this board. Grant them the wisdom of Solomon. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we have a personnel report that hopefully everyone got a chance to review. This time I would need a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Tom?
Second.
And Paul? Second. Were there any other discussions regarding that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Personnel report is approved. Property and Services Committee, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, we have one action item for next Monday night. The district has received a letter from the Twin Valley Bible Chapel requesting exoneration of rollback real estate taxes in the amount of $25,000 for land that they purchased. As you know, when a property is in clean and green, they get a preferential assessment, and when that land is sold, taxes that are due from the full amount less the difference between the full amount and the preferential assessment have to pay back 7 years worth. So I would like to have discussion next Monday on that.
Okay. We'll put that on as a separate action item next week then to discuss it.
That is my report.
That was everything. Were there any questions on the property services? Program committee.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question for Mr. Ramsey. I was a few weeks ago when I was back in the area, I went out by Brecknock, and it looks pretty good. I was wondering if you could just give a really quick update on the timeline. Is everything still on schedule?
Yeah, Yes, everything is on schedule. We continue to work very well with the contractors. I must say that the group of prime contractors that we have are really, really good, really accommodating. We're trying to give them as much leeway as we can, allowing them to get into some phases ahead of time without interrupting the program. We are definitely on time, on schedule, and at this point, as you know, very few change orders, so that's good news. So we'll keep you posted.
With the
thank you.
Thanks for bringing it up, Mr. Jennings. With the, I know when we did this project here, we had a couple of times taken tours through it. I don't know if that's something. It's not quite as big a project, but perhaps the board, we should at some point think about taking a walk through it.
Yeah, that would be great, because now's a good time. The ceilings are, and the hallways are down, and the floors are up, so you can really see what's going on.
Yeah. All right, then on to the program committee.
I have one item that needs approval next week, and that's our September affidavit of guardianships. There are 5 elementary students and 1 secondary student that would need to be approved next week. Any questions?
I believe that we have that as an attachment, that mm-hmm. list, so make sure that you review that if there's any questions. Okay.
That ends my report.
Great. And any other questions for the program committee? Okay. Management committee.
Management committee has 1 action item and a couple other informational pieces. The action item is a new piece. PSBA, Pennsylvania School Boards Association, is asking this board to assist in the election of officers of the leadership. I believe this is something new that has evolved with the departure of Tom Gensel to the National School Boards Association. State PSBA has revised and revamped their leadership and sort of recast how they are setting up their organization. What I need each board member to do prior to the meeting next week is to review the candidates that are in your folders. You should have written information on all the candidates who are running for office for PSBA. And then the second thing that I will need from the board is a motion for each of those positions next week. So someone needs to come prepared to make a motion to elect one person over the other. You can have a debate, but ultimately the board needs to come to consensus, and it can be 5-4, consensus over the candidates, and then Mrs. Martin actually needs to submit the vote on behalf of the board to PSBA. Again, this is something new. We've never done this before, so we'll figure it out as we go. If there are any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
So we would be 1 for president-elect out of 2, 1 for vice president, I believe, out of 2, and same with treasurer. And then the at-large representative, is that just 1 person running, I guess?
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
So, okay.
Yep. All right. A question for you. Are all the boards involved in this? I noticed I've gotten emails now already trying to sway me, lobbying, and I'm wondering what was happening. So,
you know, I don't have the inside baseball on exactly what's taking place. One of the emails that I received, I'm not sure if you all received it, sort of alluded to some conspiracy. So I really don't know what's going on. My recommendation is take it at face value, look at the resumes of the different candidates, and vote accordingly. Mr. Irvin.
Mrs. Groff from Conestoga Valley is one of our PSBA representatives, and if the board wishes, I will get a list of her proposed candidates and pass that on to each of you before next meeting, if you would like that.
That could be helpful.
I would like it.
Yeah. Will you email Thank you. Mr. Jones?
I will email Mr. Jones that information also.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Irvin.
Okay, any other comments or questions on that? I think it's a good idea. Clearly there's a little bit of dissension among the troops there. But the whole idea is to involve more of the school boards in their organization, which I think makes sense at its core. So we'll look for that for next week. The next item I have is an informational item. I'm going to do my best to explain this as well. Last week, we were informed that USDOE, the Federal Department of Education, finally, after many, many months of haggling, has agreed to grant a waiver to Pennsylvania for No Child Left Behind. This is pretty big news. Essentially, what has happened after a lot of give and take is that Pennsylvania is no longer held accountable in the same manner that it was for No Child Left Behind progress, specifically related to AYP. The AYP measure is going to go away. In part reformed in some other pieces, but I think in a much more positive fashion. So I'm going to do my best to highlight this, and I've asked and I've given permission to Dr. Larkin to correct me if I say anything wrong. We both just heard it last week, so between the two of us, we think we have the gist of what's happening. Probably the biggest change, and again, I'm going to try to give you the Cliff Notes version. The biggest change is that not all schools in the Commonwealth will be included in the what is now the rating or the category. For example, right now, schools are labeled warning, school improvement one, school improvement two. There's a whole series of if you fall, you get these labels. Going forward, the biggest difference that I see on the surface in terms of that piece is only Title I schools will receive a moniker. I'm going to repeat that. Only those schools that receive Title I dollars will receive a moniker of some type. And there's four monikers, very similar to what has been in the past. In our particular school district, that's all three elementary schools. All three of our elementary schools receive Title I funds. So potentially all three of them could receive this new moniker that's been established. The monikers are reward for high achievement, reward for high progress. You could be a focus school or you could be a priority school. The other difference, another difference, is that from this point going forward, the schools, the Title I schools, only will be ranked against one another. So where in the past all of the schools in the Commonwealth received those monikers based on all of the schools, whether they were Title I or not, now only the schools in the pot are Title I. So that cuts down significantly the number of schools in the pot, which makes it a little easier or makes it more difficult to avoid some of the monikers if you're not performing well. It focuses PDE's attention on the school districts and the individual schools that need the attention. It makes sense. I support what the waiver says. Having said all that, schools will still be held accountable for their test participation, which we are held accountable for now. Schools will still be held accountable for their graduation and attendance rates. Graduation rate must be 85% or higher, which seems low to me. We do very well there. Attendance rates must be 90% or higher. The third area is closing the achievement gap, meaning the schools must be progressing and closing in on the standards bars. And then the last area is that typically the group that's always underperformed or the group that's considered at risk, schools will need to be successful in those areas. So the areas haven't changed, and the focus goals, the overall focus goals haven't changed. The difference is schools that are not Title I will only be essentially held accountable by public opinion. They'll still be ranked. The school profile, the report card on school districts, will come out at the end of this month. So while there's no penalty attached to that, there is the public relations component to that. So that's a big piece. The school report card that the school profile that school districts will receive, individual school profiles, will encompass all of the PSSA, will encompass the Keystone exams, all of the exams that are currently in the model will just be rolled over and be a part of that school profile. There are other standards that go sort of, there's a platform, so to speak, of what this all is based on. Part of the waiver was approved because of what some of the things that PD is doing in terms of teacher evaluation system, principal evaluation system. All of those elements contributed to the conversation that convinced DOE that, okay, Pennsylvania's on a good path if you incorporate all of those elements. And so that's how the waiver came to fruition. I think it's a positive step. I think in some ways there's less pressure on kids and more pressure on schools, individual schools and school districts, to be successful. And even the monikers that PDE is going to give schools that aren't being successful are more positive. They're not warning and failures. The words are, you need help, and the help is going to be there, not a punishment. So overall, I would have to say that PDE has done a nice job working with DOE to produce this new form for accountability. Dr. Larkin, anything major that you think I need to mention? I'll take questions if you have them, and I'll do my best to answer them. But again, this is new stuff for us as of last week. By the way, the waiver does go into effect immediately, so we're on cue for this year.
So, so the middle school and high school doesn't. They have a waiver.
They're not included. Yeah. For example, and here's a real piece. Had we gone another year with AYP, there was a very good chance that our high school would have been placed on warning. It won't be placed on warning, but the community will have the score of the report card. So there's the public relations aspect. It's just the PDE is not going to come down and give us a moniker. That's the difference.
Did they fix the graduation rate issue?
No, they haven't addressed that, and we have not heard anything about what Mr. Boy is referring to is the four-year cohort. Some students finish school sooner than 4 years. Some students appropriately take longer than 4 years, and I haven't heard anything about that. We'll need to bring that up again with PDE. Good question.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
So basically the only change is that there won't be any penalties for underperforming. Everyone's still going to be measured, and it's still going to be reported. There just won't be any penalties for underperforming. Is that correct?
The formula for calculating progress has also changed within this, and we can get into that a little bit next week. It's more realistic. There's a new formula for calculating AYP, but they're not calling it AYP. They're now calling it annual measurable objectives, AMOs. The other piece, Mr. Jones, that you're picking up on is it's simply the semantics of what they say about a school is changing. But if you're a focused school, you're going to have to fulfill a whole lot of requirements to satisfy PDE. You're going to have to do a lot of things. So while the moniker says you're no longer a failing school, and I think that's fair and appropriate to say this school's failing, that's not always true. That school might be a focus school, and they're going to have some intense things that you're going to have to do to work with PDE. So the accountability is still there. The semantics of what that's called is different.
And what if, I'm sorry, I have a follow-up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if you're a focus school and PED has given you these measurements and these methods on which you have to apply by and bring into your district, then where's the teeth? Where's the enforcement?
I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know. Other than you have to meet deadlines, I don't know what the stick is, if you will. I don't know.
The stick is still there for federal funds from the school, for the schools. The Title I schools have the stick of not eventually getting the money if you don't improve. For the middle school and high school, there's no money on the stick. And but they certainly are going to provide support for schools that would be in the lower 5 and 10% of the state.
Dr. Hollister, I think this is pretty much typical of most of the major legislation since I've been involved with the board. You run it up the pole and then you pull it back down. But having said that, there have been some positive effects of previous legislation that they've done the same with. As a general statement, are there any positive effects of this legislation?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm supportive of the changes. I was quoted in the paper saying so several weeks ago. What I appreciate about this is that by using the school profile as sort of the ultimate evaluation or the ultimate way schools are held accountable, it's more encompassing of a lot more that we do in schools. It's still, in my opinion, not broad enough. I don't think it encompasses enough of what we do. But for the first time since PSSA was put into place, we're now being held accountable for more elements outside of just the PSSA test. In the past, school districts were pretty much you lived or died on those PSSA scores. The school profile now takes into account the number of AP courses that are offered, the number of students taking AP courses, how the students do in AP courses. The attendance and graduation rate are factored in a different way. The formula for advancing students is much more realistic, particularly for special education students. It's realistic. It was impossible before. And that's where the pressure came from PDE, and a lot of other states are doing it too. 2014 was the year that 100% of students were to make all standards. Well, that's just not realistic. And that's why PDE was so willing to work with DOE. And DOE needed to solve some of that too, because DOE was looking at a whole lot of states where every school was failing, or nearly every school. So I support the changes. I think they're intelligent and they make sense, and they're connected to bigger pieces of the school operation, such as principal effectiveness, teacher effectiveness, and some other pieces. So yeah, I think it's a right step.
Any other questions?
We'll have more to share as it fleshes out. Next week, we're going to have a pretty lengthy conversation about our school profile. And there's some highlights and there's some lowlights. I'll be honest about that. So you'll get familiar with the new terminology as we start sharing pieces over the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a report?
I have one other piece. Just a little bit of a report out for the beginning of the school year. I am pleased to report that a couple of major pieces are settled in real well. For example, busing, that often we have a few headaches the first couple of days. I can tell you that we've sorted ours out rather quickly. I know for certain that two students this morning in a different school district are still having busing issues. So that was 2 weeks later, and that doesn't go in the press about that. But I can most assuredly tell you that two students didn't get a bus this morning that were supposed to. So as they stood on the, as I heard later on, as they stood on the grass and the bus went by. So we don't have, we're not having those issues here, to my knowledge. And that's a comment to Charlie and Charlie Cantor and his staff and to Brightville. They're doing a nice job. And I know we've heard some other tough things that some other school districts are dealing with as well. So that's good news. The second area that I think is noteworthy and compliments to our technology staff. We're 8 days into the school year, 9 days counting today, and all but 12 students, grades 4 to 12, have their laptops. That is an amazing feat. Just to unbox that number of laptops this summer and be ready, and to be ready to roll those out and get them distributed in the first couple of days of school is really awesome. So technology is doing well. I guess the biggest concern that I want to share has to do with the enrollment. I did give you a heads up that enrollment was spiking in a very strange way. I will tell you, the last 5 days of summer before school began, the last 5 days before school started, we picked up 41 students. So 5 days before school starts, we have 41 students register for school. By then, everything's set. Classrooms are set up. Teachers' rosters are printed. I mean, that's all done. Computers are counted out, ready for distribution. That's 5 days before school. Since school started, since the first day of school, we've had 55 additional registrations. That wrecks us, folks. That wrecks us. That wrecks our busing. That wrecks our classroom rosters. That wrecks our technology distribution. That's irresponsible. I'm sorry. That is what it's irresponsible. That we still have people registering today, 9 days into the school year.
I'm sorry. That's in addition to the 40 before.
Yeah, that's a total of 96 in the last 3 weeks.
Where are they coming from?
All over.
Were they in our district already?
I asked our registrar that question. She said about a third were new registrations from outside of, were not here before, but two-thirds were our own parents who were coming back from charter schools, private schools, or other places. So that has created a serious problem at Brecknock. We now have a kindergarten class that has 30 in each. And that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
I got to do something about that. But that's not an easy solution, because when you're 9 days into the school year, who wants to volunteer their child to get a new teacher in kindergarten? Not mine, not me. So we're looking at solutions. We're going to do something, probably along the lines of providing aid support so that we can work in smaller groups in those classrooms. You do have a document in your folder that talks about the student ratios. One thing that you do need to understand is that while there's 30 on the roster, there are a number of adults in that classroom at any given time helping students. For example, part of the day there's ESL support. Part of the day we have special education support. Most of the day there's an aide already in the classroom. Students are at their specialist part of that time. So while it sounds really awful that we have 30. We do have multiple adults in those classrooms, but that's still not okay. And there's not a real easy solution at this point. Keep in mind, we got 96 new students in the last 3 weeks.
Do we still have those two teacher budgeted for, like, do we still have that reserve capacity?
Yeah, we still have our two teacher reserve built into the budget. But again, we could do that. We could bring a teacher in part-time. The question is who you're going to ask or make go to the new teacher 9 days into the school year. Certainly it's easy to say, well, the new people could go there, but that's only going to get you so far before you have to start taking other students or taking volunteers.
I think we ought to offer that, though. Like, is there not classroom space for another?
Well, that's the other issue we're looking at. I have a call into to Mrs. Anderson to determine if we have a classroom. Keep in mind it's Brecknock and it's torn apart and we're pushed to the walls as it is. So we need to come up with a solution, and I'm making you aware that we're going to need to come up with a solution. We're still waiting for the dust to settle. You know, we're still waiting to see what kids are going to stay, what kids are going to go, and how many more are going to show up. But we do need to make a plan to provide some relief for those classes. There's no question about that. But I also want to make it clear to everyone here and to the press, Pat, that we got a lot of kids in the last 3 weeks that weren't like on our radar at all. And that's what's pressing. So, you know, when you're running buses really close to the seat and you're running everything else really close, almost 100 kids showing up, that throws us off. So we're going to come up with a solution. When we have that solution, we'll certainly communicate that to parents and we'll make the board aware. But I need to make you aware right now and sort of ask for your blessing to solve this problem with whatever means we deem necessary, whether it be a teacher or aides or some combination thereof.
Yeah, I think absolutely, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, you can't,
some of the higher numbers in the higher grades, that doesn't bother me nearly as much. But
well, that's where we are too. We try to keep those kindergarten classes under 25, closer to 22 if we can. 30 is too many. 30 is more appropriate the older that the kids are when they're self-starters and work self-independently, but not in kindergarten. So we're going to be developing a solution. I just don't know what that looks like yet. And on that note, I will say that it really has been a positive opening. Kids are busy. Teachers got right to it. Students got right to it. Technology distributed. And we're off and running in a good way. And that concludes my report. A reminder, Marion, we need to note that we did have an executive session prior to the board meeting to discuss a legal matter.
And personnel.
And a personnel. That's right. A personnel matter. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any other questions on the superintendent's report or the management committee? Any other general announcements for the board?
Yes.
I have something, but I don't really know where it goes.
This is a good point.
Several folks have talked to me about the school calendar and the fact that the sports aren't printed on the school calendar. They're finding that difficult to manage. I don't know if there's a way that could be added to what's online, but that it's really difficult to try to schedule when the sports aren't on there.
On the website or on the...
I agree it's a little cumbersome. What we have is this year we went to the online calendar, and we're not printing calendars.
Right.
In the past, the sporting events were included on the print calendar. Now what you have to do is you have to actually go two different places to get those. And the reason that is the athletic department uses a countywide scheduling calendar that doesn't tie into our local calendar. And that's why it's not merged. We can look into possible solutions. Off the top of my head, I can come up with one. For sure, the two databases don't merge. That, you know, for sure, because we couldn't get it to do that. So let me see what we can come up with.
Yeah, I know. I did try to go last week to find what time the game was, and I knew it, you know, a football game, and it was...
You have to dig a little. Maybe if you put the athletic calendar in a more prominent place, that might help, because you do have to... In fact, I did that today. I went through the athletic calendar and moved dates onto my calendar, so I understand what the problem is. So I fully understand. We'll see what we can come up with. I'm not promising anything at this point.
Well, we have a talented tech staff, so.
Get it all in the cloud,
yeah.
Anything else?
Okay. We look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
We are adjourned.